Our first singing, I hope, will be Psalm 65, and it's the first four stanzas of that psalm. Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. To thee vows paid shall be. O thou that hearer art of prayer, all flesh shall come to thee. Iniquities, I must confess, prevail against me do. But as for our transgressions, then purge away shalt thou. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and makest approach to thee, that he within thy courts, O Lord, may still a dweller be. We surely shall be satisfied with thine abundant grace, and with the goodness of thine house, even of thy holy place. Psalm 65, these four stanzas, praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord.
Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord, to be what faith shall be. O thou that hearer art of prayer, all flesh shall come to
come together in prayer. Let us all pray. Once again, our Lord and our God, we relish the opportunity given to us in thy grace of meeting together as a gathering of thine own people, to focus our thoughts upon thyself, to think of who thou art and what thou hast done. Not only the things past and days in the cross and on Calvary, but to take these very great blessings given to us by thine hand, and we experience their unfolding day after day. So, Lord, we come together here tonight, conscious of the goodness and mercy following us once more through this day. The silence that befits us as we think of thyself and all of these things given to us in thy grace. Spiritual blessings to decorate and to enrich our souls, to strengthen us in our living for thyself, to strengthen us, Lord, to witness faithfully and clearly to those round about us, strangers to thee. And there are times, O Lord, when such a confrontation takes place between us and others, and sometimes the spiritual battle is so intense that we feel that we are at our wit's end. But even when we are in such a situation, we can come aside and wait upon thee and ask, Lord, that thou would strengthen us. Give us the wisdom how to behave and to respond and react. Grant to us, Lord, the courage when we see and know that way from thyself to go down that path and to do so with a quiet confidence, but an eager expectation also of knowing the unfolding of thy good and gracious purposes for us. As we come before thee, Lord, we are constantly mindful that thou art a holy God. And even at our very best, we come short of that mark. Even at our very best, we fail and falter. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us in and through the work of Jesus Christ, thy Son, once again. That as we come with boldness before thee at the throne of grace, we may know cleansing, pardon, and forgiveness from thine own hand. And as we do come, we would bring with us our own concerns, those which are spoken, and those which we hold passionately and dearly in the silence of our own hearts, asking, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon those in our own homes and in the circle of blood, and praying, Lord, thy goodness upon them as upon ourselves, that in our land and in our day that there would be a different perspective developed amongst us. We hear so much said about the prescriptions of men for the good of society. Lord, may we linger more and more so on the prescriptions given to us in thy word for the healing of nations. We do ask of thee, Lord, then, for thy blessing upon the preaching and the heralding and the making known of thy word. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst enable us to uphold and support those who have that responsibility of preaching and proclaiming the truth. And especially, Lord, as we would come before thee in prayer for these situations and for many others here tonight, give us a holy boldness. For thy word encourages us that thou wilt do above and beyond our thoughts and our wildest dreams. So, Lord, may our words reach that same height. May we come with that same perspective in our asking. And may we know, Lord, a good coming on our villages, our homes, our families, our community, by what we do here this evening. Bless us, we pray. Remember those who are not able to be with us for one reason or another. Providence is visiting, things intervening, upsets coming. Whatever it might be, Lord, be with us, but also, Lord, be with them. And we pray that even if it be a little sanctuary of one person waiting upon thyself, that thy blessing might be known by one and by all. Remember, Lord, also our nation and our peoples, thy cause in our midst, those, O Lord, who have the responsibility of governance. We ask, Lord, that repentance is much needed on our behalf. For there's so much given respectability in our life today. So, so much that brings thy judgment upon us, were it not for the intervention of thy grace and of mercy. And we pray, Lord, that as thou dost spare us in these moments, and we know not for how long, Lord, may the nation and the people learn that our dealings with thyself, yes, we long for the blessings to come, but that path is achieved along the way of repentance. Come then, we pray. Speak powerfully to us, one and all. And we pray, Lord, that there would be breaking into life and living and thinking, the realm of eternity, of spiritual values, that there would be that acknowledgement and awareness that we have to meet with thee one day to explain all we've done here. Undertake for us then, Lord, grant thy blessing upon each one of us gathered. Pardon us our sin and bless thy word. For all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Our reading tonight is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. I don't intend to read the whole of the psalm, but a good portion of it nevertheless. Psalm 37. And we're reading from the beginning of that psalm. Let us read and hear God's word. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth, and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy, and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. And breaking off reading there, we look to the Lord to give us understanding and his blessing in that reading of his own holy word. Again, we sing praise to our God using this time words from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we're singing verse 33, four stanzas to 37. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine, and to observe it to the end I shall my heart incline. Give understanding unto me, so keep thy law shall I. Yea, even with my whole heart I shall observe it carefully. In thy law's path make me to go, for I delight therein. My heart unto thy testimonies, and not to greed incline. Turn thou away my sight and eyes from viewing vanity, and in thy good and holy way be pleased to quicken me. Psalm 119 at 33 to 37. Teach me, O Lord, the perfect way.
Teach me, O Lord, the give under
Would you go back with me then to the portion we read there a moment ago of Psalm 37? And what I want to do is maybe something different tonight. We're not going to go through any one particular verse, but we're going to select several of them and put together what the Lord is saying to us here to help us to live out our life, Christians, in the society in which we're placed. And the way the Lord deals with his people is so, so different and varied. The way he speaks, the way he encourages, challenges, comforts his own people. But whatever he does, and the method with you and me are different for our character and experience, it's always appropriate and it's always effective. The two or the three on the road to Emmaus, down in the mouth, the Lord joins with them, opens the scriptures and makes them to rejoice. Nathan, the story that David had, and Nathan went straight into the point without anything stopping him, pointing the finger and says, "Thou art the man." Belshazzar, using all the temple vessels for his own works and shameful entertainment, and the hand of God writes on the wall publicly, unmistakably. Moses. The one desire that Moses had was to go into the land of promise. We're not told how often he asked the Lord, but I think it's fair to say that he did it several times, even many times. And the Lord was patient with Moses and all of these efforts. But eventually, when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 3, the Lord says, "Enough is enough." That's what he says to Moses. "Enough is enough. Don't speak to me on this matter again. The line is drawn. You're staying on that side of it." Peter. Peter was left for a while to wallow in the mess of his own making. But the Lord came and encouraged him and drew him back. Psalm 73, the psalmist there tells us and shares with us the problem we faced of the prosperity of the evil, and he was on the point of losing his Christian balance. And you get to Psalm 73, verse 17, where the Lord takes him and brings him before the things of eternity. The temple of the Lord is when he began to see things in a different perspective. Different ways the Lord deals with his people. And what we have here in Psalm 37 is a psalmist, and he's walking through life like you and I have to do. The things that we meet, go through, the problems, the difficulties, they're all trials to our Christian faith and our Christian living. And how does the Lord deal with the psalmist? How will the Lord deal with us? How does he encourage one and all? What I want to do this evening is to take about eight, I'll repeat it, eight bullet points. Bullet points which the Lord quite deliberately fires at him and fires at us in quick, rapid fire succession. And so often these are important because the structure of this psalm is put together very, very specifically. Here is the Lord in dealing with his servant, and he's addressing issues and he's giving solutions. And every two verses of this psalm begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet going through it sequentially. A, B, C, D. Every two verses begun in that way, as a help to the memory, to remember what has been said and what is meaning for life lived by him, by us. So let's get into it. The first bullet he fires, the very first verses and the very first words in that verse, "Fret not." Again, if you go through it, that word, "fret not," is occurring three times in this psalm. Verse 1, verse 7, verse 8. And it means don't let these things that are burdensome and around about you, don't let them burn you up. That's the danger that he was facing. That's the danger that he faced, we face, and therefore he is repeating it. Verse 1, 7 and 8. And in verse 8, it's almost as if he's given a blanket application. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. It only leads to one destination. And that's what he's warning his people then and now about. There is here exceptional and unnecessary worry and concern. There's a contrast always set up in the Christian's life as we live day after day. Have we not heard it ourselves between those who have and those who have not? And the boasting that people use against us. Where's your God? What has he done for you? Where has it got you? You're going to a meeting on a Wednesday night. What do you hope to achieve by doing these things? That's the kind of flack we get constantly. And that, of course, is made much more intense when we're tired, when we're old, when we're ill, when we're subject to social pressures. And the psalmist is saying, fret not, in that picture that he's painting so vividly and quickly for us. Don't let these things get to you. Don't get heated up. Don't let them burn you up. The lesson of grace is to look at the most difficult providence we've got. The paradoxes round about us in life. To look at these providences and paradoxes with a calm spirit. With the simple assurance that the Lord is righteous in all his acts. And to keep on thinking through where we are using the principles of God's word. We said we've got bullet points here. We could also say the Lord is putting out fence posts for us. And these fence posts are to protect us. And we're to take the principles that God has given in his word. And time after time after time, day in, day out, we're to take them and apply them to ourselves. Thinking them through. Never easy. But we've got to learn to have a spiritual perspective on man and on events round about us. Fret not. Don't overvalue the sunshine of the wicked. And don't undervalue the inheritance of the Christian. Don't overvalue the sunshine of the wicked. And don't undervalue the inheritance of the Christian. Bullet point. Fret not. He goes on, verse 3, trust in the Lord. What's the cure for this fretting that he's giving to us here? Simply, faith cures fretting. It corrects a spiritual distortion and a lack of understanding that we've got. Remember what I said? Think it through. Here in this psalm, go to verse 12 and 13. The wicked plot against the just and gnash upon him. And what happens? Well, let these very things that you're subject to out in society today, set them in the context. Well, that's what they do to me, but what do they do to the Lord? We're told here the Lord laughs at such. The Lord laughs at such. And again, in verse 14 and 15, he says, the sword shall enter their own heart. What goes around comes around. Just think about it. They who live by the sword will die by the sword. Faith cures fretting. If we assess people by our own standards, we'll make mistakes. It's best and better to rely upon the Lord. Certainly, we've got to leave some things in the hands of the Lord, with the assurance that he cares, he's wise, he's holy. Because there's always the temptation when we're under this pressure out there in society, wherever it might be, whatever job we're in, whatever circle of contacts we've got, there's always this pressure, Lord, I want out of here. I want things to change. I want to escape because of the hostility I'm subject to day after day. And the psalmist is saying, no. Trust in the Lord. Stay in the place the Lord has put you. And rely on him to supply your every need where you are. And when we adopt that stratagem, we'll discover so much more for our soul and our heart and our life of the closeness of the Lord with us. Trust in the Lord. If you go back to Joshua 23, we're told there in Joshua 23, it was after they had got all the plans and set out all in place, and there was a lot of peace in the land, and Joshua was about to die in Joshua 23. And we're told right at the very end of, well, he's into the, first of all, into the middle of Joshua 23. He says, very simply to the people, he says, cleave. Stick fast and tight to what the Lord has said and what the Lord has done for you. Cleave to the Lord. Renew your commitment. Trust in the Lord. We have, if I can take it quickly to Proverbs, something is said in Proverbs chapter 3. It says this in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct their path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Fear not. Secondly, trust in the Lord. Third bullet point, verse 4. Delight in the Lord. And this consequence follows on from verse 3. Worries and pressures, and we know the effect of these things upon us. We've all known it. Worries and pressures rob us of our joy in some measure. We feel that we're under a cloud constantly. And what we've got to do is get rid of that negative. And we've got to break out into the sunshine of the Lord's provision for us. Delight in the Lord. Who you are. What you are. You are a redeemed soul to the Lord. Precious because you've redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The relish that you now have in all the Lord has done and given to you. We can, yes, develop tunnel vision. We keep on thinking of what's going to happen tomorrow. We keep on thinking what's going to happen next. We keep on thinking of providence as just within a very small area of life and action. We keep on thinking too much of the world and what's going on in the world. And the longer we do that, the more of the joy that is legitimately ours we will lose. We need to let the Lord be the delight and the meditation of our hearts. Go right back to the very first psalm we have, the description that is given there of the godly man. What's one of the characteristics of that godly man in Psalm 1 verse 2? He delights in the law of God. And it's not just, well, I've got 5 minutes to go. It's not, well, I better do it before I do this. No, he says, I delight in the laws of God day and night. A delight that he has in the law of God. Let me go back before anyone here, I think. Way back before automatic washing machines. What did you do when clothes were dirty? You put them in a tub and you soaked them. And you left them there and you washed them only after they'd been soaking for a long time. That's what we've got to do with God's word. Let our soul soak in God's truth. The blessings we've received and the cost of obtaining them. So often what's happening in the world can fill our life to the point of overflowing. And the Lord sometimes has to say to us, like he said to the disciples, come apart for a little while. Be still, as he says in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. These are counsels, practical counsels, because of what we're going through and what we have to live with and face up to in life today. And the Lord knows it, and the Lord comes and he says to us, listen, mate, be still. Come aside. Legitimate as all of these concerns might be, just for a moment, hold them at arm's distance from you. When we then delight in the Lord and our desires run in the channel that is pleasing to him, we'll find that life is so much more satisfying. Yes, I would venture to say even thrilling, because we're always there experiencing what the Lord has for us. But the contrast is given to us there, the delight in the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 10. For a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Okay, it's quaint language, but let me put it like this. You go looking for the wicked. This person who's been throwing bombs at you. This man who's been setting traps for you. This man who's been setting all kinds of trouble for you, every corner of life. Go on, go looking for him. And when you go looking for him, the place is empty. He's no longer there. Because what's told us in verse 2? Go back and read it. For they shall be cut down like the grass. The grass, we've started cutting it now. It's hardly there a fortnight and it's cut down. Out in the wet, in the Middle East, it'd be even shorter time because of the heat and everything else. That's what he's saying to us. These people who are so bent on doing evil and making things difficult for the Christian, they will soon be away. Don't be taken up with what they've done and what they're saying and what they're doing. Delight always in the Lord. And that word delight, it's not used often in the Old Testament. It's a very strong but a rare word. And it brings home a deep, deep delight in the peace that God has. A peace and a delight that doesn't change when providence changes with us. A peace and a delight that doesn't go away with the passing of the years. A peace and a delight that's not prized out of your hand because of what other people might do for you. No. The peace that is the rightful experience and the deep delight of the Christian is the gift that God gives to every one of his own, based from and drawn from his son's death upon the cross. So yes, bullet point, fret not, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord. What else does he say here? Verse 5. Commit thy way to the Lord. Yes, there are problems. You and I are going to face with them. What are we going to do with them? Well, we are to gather all these problems together. And the hymn writer says it to us. Take them to the Lord in prayer. Commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Unburden our soul to the Lord. Christianity, we're not allowed to behave like an ostrich, burying our head in the sand, thinking that everything's going to go away. No. We've got to give an answer to the problems that others have to cope with, and we've got to cope with. The difficulties that arise in society today, they're there for every one of us, and we've got to have an answer for them that we can share with others. But we take all of these concerns, all of these troubles, small and large though they might be, and we commit them to the Lord. And when you go to Proverbs chapter 16, it speaks about this very thing of committing to the Lord. And the word that is used there, it has an image of rolling something. All of these problems, small or large as they might be, what have we got to do with them? We've got to roll them. Roll them before the Lord himself alone. Because the Lord is more than equal to any of the demands we might face. A simple truth given us in Scripture of the sufficiency of God's grace. God's grace and resources are equal to any demand that you and I have to face. And that's the reason why we commit all these problems to him, looking to him for the answer he might have for us. Now, it's difficult to do that. Think of a farmer who's preparing his ground, plants his seed, feeds it, weeds it, nourishes it. But the harvest is not his to control and dictate. The farmer cannot control the sunshine, nor can he control the falling rain. What the farmer does, we do. We simply do what is required of us, and we commit the rest to the Lord, and we wait upon him with patience, leaving the whole matter in his hand. There are times when your reputation and mine are at risk. People will say all kind of things against you and me. Just simply because we follow the Lord. But if we are looking out for the honour of the Lord and making sure that we honour him, then the Lord will see to it that he will look after our reputation. Commit our ways to him. Difficult it might be to switch off disturbing, distracting thoughts, but we can squeeze them out at least by a new focus, delighting in the Lord and committing all these problems to him. Bullet 5, number 7, verse 7, rest in the Lord. What does this mean? In the midst of all of the hustle and the bustle and the pace of life, what is he telling us here? He's not telling us to stop and do nothing. But what he is telling us to do is, following on from what we've said, patient. Be silent at times and wait for the Lord. Lean upon him. The life of men round about us might indeed cause us problems. Yes, we know it in ourselves. We can become angry. We can become resentful. We can fight with words to describe men. And we can even use some words to describe God's dealings with us. Why is this happening to me? And so often we think, well, God, why? And sometimes when we're in that kind of extreme traumatic situation, the psalmist is simply telling us, rest in the Lord. Lean upon him. We might not speak it, but we think it. And to to hush our spirit, to be silent before the Lord, patiently wait for him, and wait for his time and his way of deliverance. Rest on the Lord. And that requires grace on our part. Because so often and too quickly, we're always looking for the answer, almost just like that. But the psalmist tells us in Psalm 62:1, he says he will wait with expectation and patience upon the Lord. A silent tongue not only shows a wise head, but also shows a holy heart. A silent tongue not only shows a wise head, but also a holy heart. Lean upon the Lord. You've got a book to read. One of these detective thrillers or such like. And you know there's a plot all the way through it. Well, you go and you open the first paragraph and you read it, the characters are developed and the plot is shown us. You don't then suddenly go to the end to get the answer to the solution. You just simply read it through, page by page, chapter after chapter, until you get to the solution at the end. Rest in the Lord. Wait for him in all of the dramas of life. Verse 8. Cease from anger. Another bullet. As we see and experience all these imbalances around us, the temptation is, as we've said, to entertain anger, hostility to man and to God. But again, quite simply, the Lord counters that as he speaks to us. We have no ground to complain whatsoever about God's dealings with us. We stand on mercy's ground. We have experienced the gracious favor of the Lord to us. We know day after day the lavish, fulsome blessings of God's grace decorating our life every day. We can remind ourselves and speak to ourselves what we once were and what we now are. And when we do that, we are tuning our heart and our voice to praise God. Cease from anger. It breeds and broods what is hostile to the Christian's character. A disgruntled spirit, a complaining heart, be done with it. Bullet point, cease from anger. Verse 27, we're going towards the end, just two more to go. 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Depart from evil. Again, we can see the things developing, all these bullet points. Think of what Sodom had to do. Sodom left the city without a backward glance. That's what we've got to do. Depart from evil. It's not open to discussion. It's not open to debate. It's not a truce. We negotiate the terms. Well, I'll do this on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Wednesday night and Sunday mornings, I'll be in the Lord's house. No. We do not negotiate with evil. We do not negotiate in times of temptation. We leave without even a backward glance. And we replace all that we've left behind with the good things the Lord has given. The moment that we think, debate and discuss, the moment we start like that, we've lost our high ground. And we're down in the gutter, like everybody else round about us, who do not know God. God has given us so much to delight in. We come with his blessings. We come to enjoy. We come to think. We come to praise him. That's what we've come to do. But the moment we give in to evil, anything else is only stolen fruit. You think of some of the great works of art in these days. They're sold for millions and millions and millions of pounds. That's the value of them. But there are some works of art that have been stolen. Great pictures. Where are they? Whoever has them, they can't put them on the wall and have the public go past them. They can't even take their friends in to show them. They're there, stuck away for him and him alone to see. They're denied that open space. So it is, the gains and the pleasures of evil are so personal and short-lived. But the reward of grace is eternal. Verse 16 sets the right perspective and balance for us. A little that a righteous man has is better than all the riches of many wicked. And then we come last bullet point, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Keep to the narrow way. Keep your eyes front and center going forward. Don't flag, don't be discouraged. Don't be affected by what's going on around about us. Now that's difficult to do. Wait, is it Psalm 133 says about the servant waiting for the first indication of her mistress. Wait for obedience as a servant. Wait in hope as an heir. Wait in expectation as a believer. And the Lord will reward us with what is really good, heavenly riches, where there is no limit. Way back in the book of Deuteronomy, take it, read it later on yourself, but Deuteronomy chapter 11, the writer starts and he says, I'm not speaking to those people who don't know things. I'm not speaking to those who are strangers to what happened in Egypt. I'm speaking to you. To you. You who came out of Egypt and you who saw what I did. I'm talking to you, and therefore there is an obligation upon you to do exactly like I'm telling you. Love the Lord and walk in his ways. That's what God is saying to us there in Deuteronomy chapter 11. And if we don't, woe betide us. Wait on the Lord. There is nothing, but nothing that we can complain of to the Lord about his dealings with us. He has enriched us. He has blessed us. He has met us at the point of our need. And he has been good and gracious to us day after day. Yes, the puzzles of life will be shown in our face and will be felt in our soul. And we need protection sometimes when they become intense and prolonged. We have it in this psalm. Some of these bullet points we can go back and revisit. Because at the very end of this psalm, it ends on a serene calmness. There's a tranquility of faith exhibited by the psalmist. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. He saves and delivers not only from the very circumstances that cause us trouble, but he also saves us from the thoughts and the emotions and the traps and the temptations that so often accompany our path and journey through life. And instead, he takes all these away and he gives us, like we've said there, he gives us an abundance of peace, verse 11. No matter what's going on round about your life and mine, this is the gift he gives us, strengthening us to keep going, wisdom to make the right assessment and the right decisions. And at the end of it all, he's come through, walked through life, given us all these bullet points, and at the end he simply says this: the Lord is on our side. The Lord is our helper, and the Lord is our Saviour. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name this night for all of the good things thou dost give us from thy word, the understanding, the light that cast upon our own path and our own way tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to take these things with us, to live by them, and to know something of thy quietness and peace, the gift of our Father to every one of his children. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Psalm 62, verses 5 through to 8, four stanzas. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defence, I shall not move be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is our refuge high. 5 through 8 of 62. My soul, wait thou with patience.
My soul, wait thou with patience.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with